Welcome to Workshop Wednesdays with Tony Gambone, where you will learn how to build your business and take it to the next level. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, good morning, everyone. I hope that you guys are enjoying the summer. I know here in the Houston area, well, for the last 4 days, maybe 5 days, we have been over 100 degree weather. Sounds hot. Well, guess what? It is hot. I don't know. I used to live in Las Vegas for 20 years, and it used to get to be 115. I think, personally, sticking your head in the oven, anything over 90 degrees is pretty darn hot. But, hey, I'm blessed to be able to have air conditioning and be in a city where, well, being an entrepreneur is really, really an opportunity. Houston is growing like crazy. I live on the outskirts of Houston, 18 miles west of the Houston downtown area, and if you go 20 miles any side of Houston, it is blossoming. It is just growing like crazy. I know that people are always worried about the oil industry here because that's where we're based out of, the, you know, where business comes a lot of, but I'll tell you, it's growing in a lot of different directions. And I'm super excited about that because, as a lot of you know, Tough Talk Network has a business network side to it, and we run business networking groups. And in our groups, one of the things that I'm always trying to do is teach. And, you know, I'm not the only one that tries to teach. We bring in people just like we do on the radio show here on Workshop Wednesdays and have others teach you as well, okay? I don't know everything. I don't know hardly anything. But one thing I am sure of, I know that building relationships with others is the only way you're going to grow personally and business-wise as well. A word of mouth is the best way to build your business, and word of mouth is the best way to build your friendship. And I think that if you can sit down with someone and learn about them, you have the opportunity to understand them and help them, and they have the same possibilities with you as well. So for me, it's all about learning who you're sitting next to. Whether you're in a networking event, if you're standing in line at the grocery store, or, you know, you're moving into a new neighborhood or someone has moved in next to your house, reach out and learn who they are. I mean, you could be sitting in church, and that's probably not the time to talk, but on the way out, you can ask them, if you don't know them, who they are, where they're from, what makes them do what they do, why did they decide to come to that church, why were they at that store, you know, do they have children? There's all kinds of questions you could ask people to learn about them. You know, life is not everything about selling who you are, but it's about finding out who they are. Just my little 2 cents worth. We've got a great show lined up here. And, you know, I'm going to give you my selfish side. I think we have a great show lined up every Wednesday from 10:30, 11:30 Central Standard Time. Workshop Wednesdays on the Tough Talk Radio Network. You can learn more about that by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com. We're talking about relationships today, and I have two experts, Janelle and Rob Alex, and they, well, they're experts in relationships, personally and business, you know, professionally. I also have a gentleman by the name of Iman Aghay, I think I got that right, and he's a successful, he's the founder of Success Road Academy. It does a lot with marketing. And once again, you know, we talk about marketing, and in my programs, when I speak about the word marketing, it's not about a brochure. I mean, it's important to have everything that's, you know, has all your information on it, but your steps, your walk, your talk, your actions market who you are. You know, that's why it always comes down to that relationship, folks. You know, eventually you show up as the real person, so how you start out in that journey is important. If you go to a networking group and you show up as someone that you read about in a book or on social media, eventually people are going to understand 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 months down the road, you're not really who you've been saying you are. And what happens? Just like in a personal relationship, you get kicked to the curb. And there's no coming back from that majority of the time. My question is, why would you want to go through all that? Show up and be the best you can be. You can't lose that way, because all they're going to find out is more about you. So whether it's personally or professionally, I think it's important to represent who you are. So before we go to commercial break, I want to get some housekeeping out of the way. You can find me on Facebook under Tony Gambone, on Twitter under Tony Gambone. You can find the show, Tough Talk Radio on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. You can just type in Tough Talk Radio Network or Tony Gambone or Workshop Wednesday in the Google search bar. It will pop up. I love to meet new people. I'm all about building new relationships. And what I'd like to find out from you is what I can do to help you through your time. You can always call into the show, 347-989-1363, and be a part of the conversation here on Workshop Wednesdays. You can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and find all the list of shows that we're producing here weekly. You could also go to workshop-wednesdays.com and become a guest on the show. Now, make sure you're going to bring some information that's going to help others learn, because if you're looking for a place to sell your business products or services, that would be under the sponsorship tab. Or when we have guests on our show, we want them to bring information that people can use to improve their daily process. So my name is Tony Gambone. We are here on Workshop Wednesdays, and we're here every Wednesday from 10:30, 11:30 Central Standard Time. I'm going to take a commercial break and come back with my first guest, Janelle and Rob Alex, and I'm really excited about this. They're best-selling authors. They are the founders of Mission Date. I believe that I got that correct. Let me just make Mission Date Night. You can find out more when we're on commercial at missiondatenight.com. Now, you really need to understand more about relationship myths that you have been listening to all of your life. And you're going to get straightened out here today. So don't worry. Fill up your coffee. Get another bottle of water. Get a pad of paper, because we're going to have Rob and Janelle come back and get us all on board with the proper way to build relationships. We'll be right back after this break.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Morangiano is an elite, international certified, high-performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years' experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm here today with couple, Janelle and Rob Alex. They're experts in relationship and intimacy dynamics, doctors and PhDs. They've been mentoring couples around the globe. They're best-selling authors. Their newest releases are the Mission Date Night Adventure series. They also co-host the Mission Date Night podcast, and they're passionate about married dating, secret animal powers, and transcendent lovemaking. Rob and Janelle, I just want to welcome you guys to the show. Now, it sounds like we're talking about something a little bit different than business, but I got to tell everyone, I really think life is a business, and a lot of these things start with ourselves. So welcome, guys. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tony. It's great to be here.
And I have to agree right off the bat. That's one of the things that we talk about, that there's a business aspect to your relationship as well.
Yes, definitely.
Business of life.
My wife always gives me a hard time because I say to her, life is a business. And even with couples, I mean, like, you know, if you're a smart business owner, you're going to be successful. And if you're a smart man, you're going to make the right choices in your relationship. So, I mean, it's just, to me, it all falls under the same category. Now, Rob, I'm hoping you agree with me because Janelle's probably not going to as much.
Well, you know, we all have a business side to our relationship, to our life, to, you know, to our business. Also, you know, in our relationship, bills have to get paid. We have to do scheduling, you know, to know who's picking up the kids, who's dropping off the dry cleaning, all those type of things. And if you start breaking them down, they're very business-like, a lot of those.
Well, and when, of course, Rob and I have been, we've both been entrepreneurs for, I've lost count now, 20, 30 years.
Surely, we kids.
We both of us. But together, we've been entrepreneurs as a couple as well. So we're romantic partners as well as business partners. And that for us has been since 2004. So not only in our romantic partnership, do we have to realize the strengths and weaknesses of each of us? And then that person has to say, hey, I'm better, you know, doing the budgeting. I'm better at maybe orchestrating and scheduling all of the kids or the doctor's appointments or the vet appointments for the dog or whatever. I'm better at doing the laundry or whatever the case may be. And mind you, it doesn't have to be just the guy or just the woman. It really depends. So when you understand how to do that, it's very similar to then how you would run a business. Who has the most strengths and weaknesses in certain areas? If you're stronger in one area, then you should run with that. And if you're, and then that other partner says, hey, okay, this is yours. You know what you're doing. Go with it and trust them to do it. And then there's those other pieces that, yeah, you're always going to share, you're going to do together, or something maybe that you either one just stink at and you need to hire it out. Or, you know, maybe you need a cleaning lady or someone for your business, something. But it's so important to recognize those pieces.
Uh-oh. Did I lose you?
Nope.
No, we're still here.
Okay, very good. I thought I lost you. I heard a click in my ear, and it's probably those. It happens right before the voices in my head start happening. So it's all good. you know, I couldn't agree with you more. There is a comparison where, you know, just life in general, I think that people have to understand their strengths and weaknesses so that they can work on their weaknesses and use their strengths. But it doesn't seem that simple. I mean, it sounds pretty easy, but it doesn't seem that simple. For instance, in a relationship or in a business, you know we hire someone or we have someone in the business or the relationship that can handle something. How do we, from watching over their shoulder, because just like on the job, in a personal relationship, you know, there's that trust factor that people can mm-hmm. sense. And if they feel as though you're looking over their shoulder, it can cause a problem. How do you get people to back away from that?
Well, you can't micromanage everything, just like in your business. If you micromanage everything, you're going to be putting in a lot of hours. You're going to be putting in a lot of time. You're going to get burnout fast. And the same way with your relationship, you have to trust. You know, when Janelle has a task, I don't come in and look over her shoulder. I trust that she's going to get it done because of her past performance. Now, sometimes we have to build that trust back up if we forget. You know, sometimes I forget to take out the trash. And, you know, I have to, the next week, I have to build that trust back up and make sure I get the trash out on time. But we constantly have to be trusting our partner because, you know, if we don't, the relationship is just going to be like the bogged down mud bog of goo that you can't get through. I had a great employer one time that gave me that freedom. And he told me, he said, I know you're going to make mistakes, and I appreciate that you make mistakes because that means you're trying, you know, and you're learning from that. And that's the way we have to look at that and give that trust to our partner in our relationship.
Well, I think that a big key is respect. And if you respect and honor yourself first, that means that you know that you're good at what you do, and trusting in yourself is a big, big piece. Knowing what your personal expectations are of yourself and of your partner, of employees, clients, whatever the case may be. So then you can put that respect and honor outward, you know, push that out toward your partner and respect and honor and trust them. And it takes practice. I mean, it really does. Life is work. It's not the fairy tale. It's not, a relationship is not the fairy tale where, ooh, you know, the prince comes and saves the girl and now they're going to live happily ever after. That's just crazy. And you've got to realize that it takes work on both sides. So not just the romantic partnership, but a business partnership, or just a business if you're a sole proprietor.
Well, and you need to give up the blame too. If something happens and your partner, even in your business too, if, you know, something goes wrong, you can sit around and point fingers all day, but that doesn't solve anything. You know, you can say, well, you didn't pay the bills, or you didn't take, like in my example, you didn't take out the trash. Janelle could say that to me, but that doesn't remedy the situation. This is the time where as a couple, you come together and you go, okay, how do we fix this? How do we get it back on track? And we learn from this lesson. And I think that's vitally important to, as we often say, give up the need to be right, but not to blame your partner when something goes wrong. It's like, okay, let's get this fixed. Let's see how we do that.
Well, and as simple as the trash goes, and then I'll shush, Tony, so you can talk again. But as simple as the piece of, you know, as far as the trash goes, I just a few weeks back, I happened to notice that the trash wasn't out, and I wasn't angry. I just like, oh, okay, I either need to go do it or see if he's going to get it. So I went and asked him, and I said, hey, are you going to take the trash out, or do you want me to go do it? And it was in that kind of tone. It wasn't, oh my gosh, you forgot it, and yelling at him or going out and dragging it out to the curb, you know, angry, because that doesn't do anybody any good. And like I said, since he's done that, would be dishonoring yourself if you're angry and just throwing poo, if you will, at your partner.
Well, you know, I always believe that, well, not always, lately, last 5 years, you really do reap what you sow. I mean, it's just good, bad, or otherwise. So I've come to terms with a lot of things. And my wife and I work in the same business together, in the same, we office from home. She talked me into putting her in the back of the house and me in the front of the house so that we're not in the same room. We figured out what would be best, but I always find myself tiptoeing in the office, you know, to kind of peek over her shoulder, and I make that, oh, what are you doing type thing happen. And what happens is at the end of the day, I find that I waste time doing that. But deep down inside, I know why I'm doing it. I'm curious to see if she's doing what I wanted to get done this morning at the pace that I wanted her to go at it, instead of letting her go to it at her pace, which she would get it done better and at the end of the day be happier. So I had to come to terms with that process. Do you find that a lot of people struggle with that issue where they're, you know, they want to be, you know, doing their part, and they're, and, you know, because in couples and business is a tough thing. My wife and I have been doing this for over 20 years as well, and I've come to the conclusion I would rather be happy than right. So I tend to do things a little bit differently. But do you find that people struggle with that as couples in business?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know we've set a really great example at the place that we are at now, and we've been in this great space where we have this amazing ability to work so fluidly together and so smoothly and gracefully. But it wasn't always like that, no, for us either. And when we had a different company and we first went into business together, we had a bit of a power struggle because we had both originally been our, you know, sole proprietors, you know, just us, not teamed up with our first spouses that we had. We didn't, you know, partner, business partner with them. So when we came together, there were certainly things that like, and I remember the first business that we had together, I still have my other company, but I came into what the industry that Rob had grown up in, for that matter. So I was new to that industry, and he was like, "What? I know this inside and out, and we're not going to do it that way," and or didn't, you know, like this idea or that. And so we had to figure that out. And mind you, that was also one of the horror stories of our relationship in the end, because that was a business that was extremely successful. We did figure it out. However, we had to go through the big economic crisis in, you know, that 2007, 2008, 2009, that frame, and we lost everything, literally the house, the cars, the rental properties, the business. It was a really, really, really big bankruptcy because we hadn't been foolish, but it just wasn't possible to save it, unfortunately. So we had to get through all of that, and we grew even closer, though, during that time.
Well, and to get back to the point you were making, Tony, about, you know, going into the office, you know, disrupting or not getting your work done. What we do is we set a weekly meeting, mm-hmm. and we bring our notes, and we're like, and we compare them at that time and say, did you get this done? Did we get this done? You know, and that's when we look at it and we say, okay, we didn't get that done this week, so we need to make sure we put that on the top of our list this week to get that done, so that I don't, you know, come down and say, hey, you know, every 5 minutes to Janelle, did you get this done? Or she, or vice versa, she come up to my section of the house of our office and say, hey, did you get this done? Our big problem with that lies in the creative process. When we're working on something and we want to bounce an idea off of each other, that's when we kind of have that situation going on where I'll pop into her office and say, hey, what do you think about this? And unfortunately, a lot of times she's right in the middle of something and vice versa, or she'll come up to me in my section and say, hey, I got this great idea and I'm in the middle of something. So that kind of slows us down from time to time. But other than that, you know, it flows pretty fluidly for mm-hmm. us with the meeting.
So I like that. And my wife and I, we try to do that as well. And then we try to regroup, you know, and have lunch. You know, in the middle of the kitchen, and that's the part what always puts pounds on my waist is every time I go to her office, I seem to stop at the refrigerator and have a conversation. But
you should jog to her office, jog.
Yeah,
run back.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell her you said that because I always seem to catch her in the middle of something, and you know, I'm not really good at waiting for her to finish what she's doing to look up at me, but. Personal issues that I grow on every day. My question now is, with couples working together, and even if it's you know, just a company that has a, you know, you don't work with your spouse, but you're working with one other person in the office, it kind of comes down to the same thing. You have to be really smart with your time and balance of your time. So for me, you know, I try to make sure to take a lunch break and sit down with my wife for lunch and have conversation then. Some of it's a little bit about business, but I try to make most of it not about business. And I try to sit down, not stand at the counter, but sit down and eat and just relax a little bit. How important is it, do you think, for people to take time in their day for, you know, just to step out of that workspace and get that balance of, you know, reality in there?
I think it's huge.
Yeah, vitally important.
You know, I live by my Google Calendar. I love Google Calendar. but so shout out to Google, like everybody else doesn't like it. But, you know, I put all the things I have to get done. I'm constantly putting them into my calendar and figuring out, you know, approximately how long I think it might take or spreading it over a certain number of days. However, I always leave an hour open for lunch. I just do so that's I know there's a time to have a break or personally, even just for me, let alone to have lunch with Rob. But for me, I will leave a half an hour someplace else. If I've booked up a couple of things I know I need to work on or an interview or whatever the case may be or a client, then I'll leave a half an hour after that so that I can just breathe, get up, you know, run around the house, do some jumping jacks, do something. And I'm not being smarty pants about the jumping jacks, I actually do that. So, but whatever it might be, so that my body's getting up and not just sitting there and moving. And I think that's a key piece. And Rob, you and I have done this before we even worked in the same house when we had the brick and mortar business. And I wasn't always there,
right.
But, or if I was, and I was in the office and you were out front, we would still take time to go to lunch. We took usually about an hour where we just got away from all of that and had time for just that.
Well, and like Janelle was saying, you have to take time for so many things. Obviously, we have children too. So There'll be a day that we might have to put off work. You know, we'll go to a, you know, on a field trip with our youngest son or something in the morning, and then we have to, you know, plan our, change our day a little bit. You know, maybe we'll work a little later in the evening, or maybe we'll get up late and do some work. So that's one of the beautiful parts about being in this relationship and business together for us. Another thing that, just like Janelle was saying, the exercise and to take time for yourself. I have a standing desk to where I stand most of the day while I'm working. And when I'm not standing, I have an exercise ball that I set on to keep me, you know, one, healthier, and to, you know, keep from getting stiff and stuff sitting at a desk. But I also move around a lot when I'm working. So I need to be out of Janelle's space, because I know that I am very distracting when I'm working. I like to turn on music sometimes and dance around while I'm doing stuff, and even sing, which I'm not a very good singer, but, you know, but that's what helps me work. And that's what gets me motivated, especially, you know, when I'm doing a creative project or something like that, I need that motivation and that energy flowing through me in that way. And it would be very distracting to be down here with Janelle, and it wouldn't be honoring for me to be down here in her office doing that while she's trying to concentrate on an article she's writing or
with
something.
Love and honor and respect, I would kick you in the pants and say, get out.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, I want to, because time goes quickly here, I want to swing to another part of this here. And I really, you know, a lot of people ask my wife and I, how do we spend so much time together, work, personally? I mean, we're always together. It just seems, and it's been that way for a long time. I'm a very blessed man when I tell you that my wife puts up with me. But the thing of it is on Fridays, at the end of the work week, and it doesn't mean I don't work on Saturdays, but at the end of the work week on Fridays at 1 o'clock, I roll it all up. And I grab hold of my wife, and we either go to a movie, we'll go walk around the mall, we go and spend the rest of the day hanging out outside of work. And, of course, we have the phone because we have kids that are in their 20s, but, you know, who knows, for a text message from them,
right,
that's about it. But no work involved. How important do you think it is that people take time out, and if they don't work, if they work with their spouse, to just go out and spend time, even if they don't work together, as, you know, a date night, so to speak? How important is that?
Well, I think, again, I think that's another vital piece. However, I know for Rob and I, and I've had other clients, in fact, even another, Allie LaPreach, she just interviewed us recently, and she was talking about the same thing, how when she works with her spouse, depending on what it is, there's times that it feels more like a date. It feels like play. Rob and I have recently, we just launched Mission Date Night TV, and we've been doing some parodies and some kind of funny, playful videos that, you know, that aren't necessarily educational, but at the end, we're like, oh, wait, we're actually relationship mentors. So they're so much fun, and they're so playful that even though they're work, it feels like play to us. And actually, we love doing, like, interviews, whether we're on this side of it, Tony, or on your side. We love it so much that for us, it's just a playful, fun piece. Yet, we also make sure that we have a time. We'll go to a baseball game, or we'll go, football's getting ready to start. We're both big football fans.
Broncos.
But I like all football. I want to see all the professional teams. I'm different that way than a lot of women, probably. But, oh, my God, not the stereotype. I'm so sorry. But, so that's a fun piece for us. And or just the other night, there was the show on about Chris Farley, the two-hour special, and we completely didn't do anything else. We sat down and watched that because we were big Chris Farley fans. So it's important to find those things that you really love to do.
Well, it breathes life into everything you do. So when you have those moments where you can get away and just enjoy being with each other, you know, it breathes life back into your business, into your life, into everything that's going on. And vice versa, when you're sit down in your business and you're successful at your business, and it breathes life into your relationship. And so it's this constant cycling of energy from the business, from your life, from your relationship that just keeps flowing. And when you get that flowing nicely, man, it's a wonderful spot to be
in. I know we have to wrap up on our end, so, or on your end, whichever, Tony, but I just want to make sure everybody understands that the stronger your romantic mm-hmm. partnership is, the stronger your business will be. Whether you own it or you work for somebody else, your career will actually be stronger. It truly is a cycle, and one really does support the other. So it's really important to get those things in line.
Mm. Time goes really fast with you guys. I really enjoy having you. I've had you on the show before. You've been on other shows here. Let's get the information out there. How can they tune into your podcast, your TV show? I know you have books out there. There's so many ways they can plug into you. And if you're listening to this show now, or you're listening to it as a podcast, just understand one thing. You need to really stop by the website, missiondatenight.com, and don't get caught up in the title, because there's a lot more to it, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're a James Bond fan, you're going to dig the banner, because it looks like a James Bond thing. There's so many things going on here that you guys do to help others in so many different ways. How can they plug into you?
Well, actually, we just put up a new video, yesterday, day before, on the homepage there at missiondatenight.com, and it tells you, say, hey, you know, put your name and email in, and you can get access to our secret calendar, because we absolutely run with the spy theme, whether it's Mission Impossible, James Bond, or Austin Powers. We love the spy theme. It's so fun and playful. And so, you know, doing that, getting access to our secret calendar, that actually will give you access to monthly, we give away free monthly adventures or sexy challenges or some different thing that you can plug into, and it'll also keep you posted when we have a new program that's released. And we make all of our stuff ridiculously inexpensive, because we want it to be accessible to anyone. Yeah. Working with us privately is more a bigger investment, but the other stuff is, I mean, seriously, it's almost everything's under $10.
Yeah, our goal is to help as many couples as we possibly can out there, and that's why we price our stuff the way we do, mm-hmm. because we want everybody to have access to it.
Yeah. Well, I just did it. I just filled out the thing. I really like the idea of your front page of your website, where it says get access. I think that it's cool. I just really do. Now, Man from U.N.C.L.E. is coming out, new movie, so you're going to have to
look
out for something else. And I think you're old enough to remember them, right?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. But I mean, there's so many. There's the funny spy movies as well as the more serious ones. You know, the Mission Impossible, the newest one with Tom Cruise just came out. There's so much fun. We all love it. And we like the humor. So we like the spy movie with Melissa, what is it, McCarthy?
McCarthy.
She's getting ready to have that one. It's already released.
Yes.
And Austin Powers. You know, we just love all that. So any and all of it is fun to bring it in and say, wow, how does that incorporate into your relationship? So it's fun.
So they can plug into your podcast by going to missiondatenight.com. They can plug into your TV shows. Are you looking for people to be guests on your shows or your podcast?
Yes, we do have guests on Mission Date Night on the podcast.
So they can go find everything out by going to your website, missiondatenight.com. Correct?
Yes.
Correct, yeah.
All right. Well, guys, I hope that you will continue doing what you're doing, because I think it's just awesome when people are helping others understand how to paddle through the puddles that we live in every day. I mean, it's really tough sometimes to get there, and we always seem to take it out on the one that is closest to us, who is a spouse or a business partner or whatever it might be. So it's really important to have the tools needed to get past that, to be able to work on your weaknesses to gain more strength in your relationship. So thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having us, Tony.
One thing that you can leave the listeners, one nugget.
One nugget we can leave the listeners with. Oh, my gosh, we have so many. I think let's just wrap back up to what we said earlier. Let go of the need to be right, which is much, much easier said than done.
Yeah, and I'd like to add a little bit more to that is, you know, to have fun. You know, have fun in everything you do, whether it's business, life, your relationship. Make it fun. You know, walk into your wife's office and dance with her for a little bit and then leave. Things like that to make it interesting and exciting, and that, you know, that's a wonderful thing to have in your life.
I couldn't agree more. Thanks, guys. I appreciate your time today. I hope you have a great rest of the week. And we look forward to keeping an eye on what you're doing and having you back on the show.
Great. Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to bring up my next guest, a gentleman by the name of Iman Egghead, I hope I'm saying that right. He's the founder of Success Road Academy, which is one of the largest information marketing training centers in the world and the largest in Canada. So super excited about this. We'll be right back after this here short commercial break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Attention entrepreneurs, it's time to get real. Real about who you are, where you want to be, and what you're willing to do to get there. To make the leap from just getting by to making real money and making a real difference in this world takes a plan and certain skills. If you are serious about building a business that makes a difference in this world, join Michelle Sism at her Legacy Live event in Houston, Texas, September 10th through the 12th. Learn more at LegacyLiveEvent.com. We will see you there.
All right, welcome back to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and I am here with you today. We just finished up our first part of the show with Janelle and Rob Alex. And if you have not heard that part of the show, make sure to go back and find it on workshop-wednesdays.com, Wednesdays with an S.com. You'll be able to learn more about them at missiondatenight.com. Great couple. If you're struggling in your relationship, whether professionally or personally, this is a good opportunity for you to get back on board with that. Now, my next guest is a gentleman that is the founder of Success Road Academy, which is one of the largest information marketing training centers in the world and the largest in Canada. He harnesses the power of the internet and combines it with effective in-person marketing to help business owners grow their companies and professionals position themselves as go-to experts in their field. Now, we all know that marketing is an important part of our business. So I'm really excited to welcome Ayman to the show today. Ayman, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Hello, Tony, and thank you very much for having me on the show. Actually, many people call me Ayman, but it's actually the correct way of it is Iman.
Iman, and say your last name for me too, please.
It's like a guy.
A guy.
Yeah. Iman, and
okay.
Then it's a guy. So Iman a guy or Iman a guy.
Okay, Iman a guy. Okay, well, I am sorry for, I apologize for getting so far off on the pronunciation, but that's what I'm pretty good at. So I wanted to just let
it's
you know
actually,
that I do that to everyone. So welcome to the show, and I want to let people know that I believe you're calling in from Canada. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And where are you from originally?
I am originally from Iran, and I immigrated to Canada in 2009.
Okay, so it's you've been doing this marketing how long? When did you start doing that?
Well, I started, I started more as a business owner, when I was 18. I started my first business, then I went bankrupt when I was 18. And I started my second business, but the difference between my first business and the second business was that in my first business, I had inherited a lot of money. So I had a ton of money and no experience and no mentor. So within 3 months, I lost all the money that I had inherited and went bankrupt. And then the second business that I started, I had no money, but then I had a mentor. And I took that business, and over 5 years, I sold that business. But the first thing that my mentor taught me is that if I want to succeed in business, it's not about how much money I have, it's about how much money I can make. So the first thing that he taught me was how to become a great salesperson and how to sell well. And that's, I think, where I started. Like I started
being in marketing and sales since I was 18. And in my own company, actually in the second company, I never turned out to be the CEO of that company. I started as the salesperson, and then we hired a CEO for me. So I was the owner, but the salesperson, and then we hired a manager for me. And then that manager hired a marketing manager who was managing me again. And then that company expanded, and then we had 15 employees in about 2 years. And then I made my way toward becoming a marketing manager. And the highest rank in terms of employees that I had in that company was a marketing manager. And when I sold that company, technically I kind of financially retired. And well, that's kind of a history right now after I moved to Canada. And so I had to rebuild everything from scratch. But but then at that point, when I started becoming I started taking courses and stuff, and I started consulting with one company, and that turned into two companies and five companies. And when I was 25, I was the second most recommended marketing consultant in the country. And that was the point that I moved to Canada in 2009.
So I like what you said about sales. It's important. But I think if people had to talk about the one thing they struggle the most with is that sales conversation. So do you think that, well, you're saying that because you hired a mentor that taught you sales, that's what made you successful. What do you think one of the easiest things to switch around in your sales conversation for people that would help them see the value of having someone teach them sales?
Stop thinking that you are having a sales conversation, because technically the best salespeople, they are not selling stuff to people, but they are consultant to people, and they understand people's needs. So instead of thinking, oh, I got to make a sale, I got to make a sale, I got to make a sale, think about what is the best thing that I can offer this person to overcome their challenges, fears, or frustration. When a person comes to you and they are having a sales conversation with you, that means that that person is in need of your service. Okay, so what you don't need to do is to convince them to buy your products, because they're already convinced that they need your service. They already know that they want your product. That's what they are talking to you most of the times, right? Like 90% of the times, 99% of the times. The reason that people are talking to you is because they are looking for purchasing your product. They are looking for purchasing your service, but what they want to see in you is the authenticity and understanding if this product, if this service actually matches their needs. Now, the biggest challenge that salespeople have is that the first thing that they do is that they start a sales presentation. And if you want to lose sales, you need to do sales presentations. But if you want to get sales, you need to have meaningful conversations with people understanding their needs. So the best salespeople are the best listeners. Okay. If you want to sell very well, stop doing sales presentations and start listening to what people need, and then use what you heard from them, from their challenge, from their fear, from their frustration with their current situation, and see how your service, your product matches their challenge, fear, and frustration, so you can offer them the best service or the best package or the best product that you have that matches their needs. And if it's packaged right, if it's packaged based on the needs or the wants of your customers, that's the time that the customers say yes to. And you know, there are many ways to sell, like things that people don't need to them, but then the problem is that you may sell for a few years, but then you start having bad reputation. So you know there are many ways to kind of go and, you know, talk about things and sell things that people don't need. But then the problem with that is that's a short-term mindset that many people have. They think, oh, I want to sell whatever. That's not what I promote. I promote sell stuff to people that serve them with excellence, and then have meaningful conversations with your clients to offer them the best product or service that they can purchase.
You made a really good point. Okay. You really did make a good point, because a lot of times, a lot of good points actually, because having the sales call is not a really good way to look at it, because mentally you start off in fear, or you start off in the sales mode. And what do you think about when people are having a conversation with someone, and you kind of talked about this, when they can't provide them what they need, not to sell them, to try to help them, direct them to someone that they might know that could help them? How important is
that?
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I call that promotional partnership. And usually the way that I look at my business and the way that I teach my students to do it is that I tell them, do not look at other people in your industry as your competitors, but look at them as people who have complementary services that can help your potential clients, and start building promotional partnership with them instead of looking at them as competitors and saying, oh, he's in my market, he's in my market, she's in my market, so I don't want to work with them, I want to avoid them. Instead of that, go get to know them and see what are the best type of clients that they, if you refer clients to them, who they can serve the best, and let them know that who you can serve the best, and shape a promotional partnership. Now, in that promotional partnership, you can have a percentage of the sales that you refer to them. You can have a kind of a two-way relationship that you refer a certain number of clients and they refer a certain number of clients to you per month or per week or per year. You know, and whatever that relationship is, there are six type of deals that you can build with promotional partnership, promotional partners. But whichever that deal is, you just figure out who can serve the best people in your target market and get to know them and really start serving people with excellence. And here is what I do. I actually worked with several coaches that actually, they do business coaching. And there are certain areas that, for example, we are not really the best at, and when I speak with people that they are looking for a specific type of training, I'm more than happy to refer those people to the right person so they get the best training. And that's what makes me stand out from the crowd, because we don't always push our own product. We always refer people to the best product that is available to the market, to the best of our knowledge. And just so happens that several of those products are our own products, but there are many times that they are not our own products, they are not our own services, and we refer them. And for many of them, we get paid. We get 20%, 30%, 50%, 10% commission. And for some of them, we don't get paid, but we get referrals back, right? So it doesn't matter which one it is. It doesn't matter what type of deal you have with the other person. But there is a deal in place, and you are just helping each other to build your businesses, and you help the person, the client, the potential client, to actually get great service instead of having a bad client in your own business that always you're worried about them. Just send them to the right person so they get amazing service, you get amazing service, and they get and the person who is continuing delivering the service gets the best client for themselves.
Yeah, I run business networking groups in the Houston area, and a lot of times, you know, there's different types of networking groups, and there's an exclusive group where there's only one insurance person to a group or one realtor or something like that. And in the insurance industry, what I try to explain to people is that if you're two insurance agents in the same networking group, 20% of your business might be the policies you hate to write. And that might be the 80% of policies that the other insurance guy likes to write. So if you partner together like that, you can build 100% business that you like to do for each. And like you said, sometimes there's an affiliate program or commission-based or just a referral process in it. But as the client, as a prospect, I know that if I need something, I can call a certain person and they're going to give me the best person for that, whether it's their own company or someone outside their company. And I think that's the integrity that's needed to increase your sales or your products or services. So I'm right in line with that there with you. I think that's really good. And it's simple to understand, but what do you think makes people complicate that process?
They don't know their unique selling proposition. So They want to hang on to every single potential client out there. So they kind of are shooting themselves in the foot without knowing that they are doing it. The challenge, for example, with insurance agents is that the insurance agents can potentially offer their services to a lot of people, right? But because they can offer their services to everyone, they are afraid of getting really, really focused and specialized on only one service. Now, because you avoid specializing in one specific service, they never turn into becoming a go-to expert. And if you are not a go-to expert, you are a mediocre business owner. You are a mediocre salesperson, okay? So how can you avoid that? If you are an insurance agent, look at the target markets that you can focus on and see which one you have better connections with, which one you enjoy more working with, and which one is the most profitable for you. Now, the thing that is most profitable for you doesn't mean that it's most profitable for the person next to you, although you're in the same industry, because you don't have the same connections, you don't have the same personality. You're a unique person, right? The uniqueness of your business comes from you as the person. It doesn't come from the service or product that you offer. Most people are offering the competitive services or product, but that doesn't mean that you need to compete with each other. Now, going back to the insurance agent, for example, there is an insurance agent that can, you know, offer his services to everybody, and he just stands up every week that he goes to that networking event and says, you know, I offer insurance services to everyone. And then there is this other guy who stands up and says, I'm specialized in group policies for businesses with more than 20 clients, with more than 20 employees, okay? Now, if you had a company that had 20 employees or more, between these two, which one would you go to? To the guy that is specialized, right?
Right.
So now here is the problem. If another insurance agent stands up and says, I'm specialized in working with families of five or less, and I help them to overcome their, like to have the right insurance policy for themselves. And then there is this other insurance guy who stands up and says, you know, I work with everyone. Again, if you have a family of five or less, you go to that other guy who is specialized in families of five or less, right? So this guy who wants to appeal to everyone appeals to no one, okay? But those two other people, who one of them works with families of five or less, and the other one works with corporations with more than 20 employees, they can keep referring clients to each other. They are the go-to experts because they chose the right unique selling proposition. They chose the right niche market. And because of that, they are specialized. They know specific products in that market. They have specific strategies for that market so they can serve that market the best. So they keep constantly getting referrals and they can refer to each other. Now, those people who constantly want to appeal to everyone, they end up to be competitors to everyone. So nobody wants to refer clients to them and they are going to compete with each other. But those are the people who go out of business the fastest.
Yeah, you made some really, really good points, Eamon. It's really important for people to understand who they serve. Of course, I try to explain it to people when they do their elevator pitch or their, you know, and they're trying and they have no unique selling proposition. Okay, so when they say if they're in the financial world and they can, they are looking to help people from the cradle to the grave, I say to them, it doesn't ring a bell. When they say I can help everyone, I don't know anyone named everyone. I don't know any person named anyone, so it doesn't register in my head. But when you say a family of five or less, or employees of 20 or less, or, you know, I help little old gray-haired men, I registers in my mind. I can visualize who can do business with them, who I can refer to them, or that they're talking about me. So it's really important what you're saying for people to understand they could help everyone, but they have to niche down to a certain target. And if someone from the outside comes in, you could surely do business with them, but you have to be strategic on who you're focusing towards so that people know how you could that you could help them. So it's really a simple thing that I think people are desperate. They just don't understand. They haven't learned that process yet. So how can people connect with you and work with you on these type of things?
Well, I have several things that I constantly, share. One of them is my weekly webinars, which is every Wednesday at noon Pacific time and 3 p.m. Eastern time. It's a free weekly business class. People can get information to that weekly business class on my website, imanagahy.com. It's imanagahy.com. And there is the information, and there's all my past episodes are there. They can go listen to different trainings that I have. Also, they can go to successroadacademy.com, and that's our training. That's my training center, which will help people who want to make a positive difference in other people's lives, and that's my niche market. You know, I like to help people who want to make a positive difference in other people's lives, and the reason for that is because I learned that I can teach marketing to anyone, but the problem is that I don't want to teach marketing to people who just all they care about is money. I like to teach marketing to people who what they care about is other people and changing their lives, and while doing that, making a good business, making a good income, right? So those are the people that I love to work with, people who have a knowledge that can and are willing to share it with other people to change their lives, businesses, or environment. That way, with my knowledge, I can create a ripple effect. So I teach one person, and that person goes and changes 10,000 other people's lives. So if I teach 10,000 people, then I'm changing changing 100 million people's lives.
I love the concept, and I believe that that's what makes the successful people successful, is making sure that they are out helping others first. And, you know, I always blame God for this. It just seems that you get it back tenfold, but we do reap what we sow. So it's really important to go out with the mindset to help others, as you mentioned, and to have one of the things to take away from today, if you're listening to this show, if you don't have what they call the USP, the unique selling proposition, you need to plug in. And I know that on your website, I opted in to get some of your stuff that comes, and Marketing Mastery Formula, it's important. Now, I've been doing this show for 7 years. I've learned so much, but one of the things that I learned is there's more to learn, so I try to plug into everyone's website to find out more about how I can improve my process. What is the next thing you have coming out that people need to be paying attention to?
We actually, from a services point of view, we actually just today are launching our mastermind group. And I've been part of a mastermind group for many, many years. And I really owe my success to this mastermind group, that every single week I set a goal and then I go back and report back. I go to the mastermind and report back on my progress and ask for help for other people. And from today, we are actually launching a mastermind group. We have a very specific way, daily action plan, you know, the action board, there is a mastermind binder and everything. And I'm actually very, very, very excited about that group and how that group is going to make a huge, massive difference in our students' lives and in other entrepreneurs who want to make a positive difference in other people's lives. And they need a hand-holding and an accountability system to hold them accountable. That is something that I'm actually very excited about. And if people join our free training centers, they can always ask for a free consultation session with me. I get on the phone with them, talk to them about their business, and then see what is the thing that we can help them with. And if there is anything we can help them, I would be more than happy to just invite them to the mastermind group or of our mentorship programs.
I'm looking forward to having you back on the show. I'm going to reach out to you off the air and chat with you some more. Eamon, we're out of time. I apologize. It goes so quickly. I love what you're doing. We preached a lot of the same language, so I will be making sure to reach out to you. I want to find out more. I want to find out when the book is coming out. There's got to be a book in there somewheres, and, you know, we can go on and on. So we're up against the clock. please tell everyone how they can contact you one more time. We got about 20 seconds.
Sure. It can be reached at emonaghai.com. That's emanaghai.com. Thank you very much, Tony, for having me. It was great to be here.
Thank you, sir. Folks, we're up against the clock. I don't have time to go to the websites, missiondatenight.com and Iman, imanaghay.com. That's our show for this week. We'll see you next week.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.